following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
And now here's traffic.
The streets are jammed. I've never seen anything like it.
Where do you suppose these drivers are going?
It looks like, yes, it's a BP station.
Drivers are excited about new BP driver rewards. When they sign up, they receive an instant 10 cents per gallon reward. With every second fill up, they keep earning and saving 5 cents per gallon. Pick up a BP driver rewards brochure at BP to join now. Up to 20 gallons, terms and conditions apply. See bpdriverrewards.com for details.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain. We can handle all of your insurance claims. We're the quickest cure whenever your glass breaks. Glass Doctor, Glass Doctor. Call us 7 days a week and we'll be there. Your home, car, or business, or anywhere. Windows, mirrors, tabletops, we'll take good care of you. Glass Doctor, Glass Doctor. Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pain.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Brand new open, Jimmy Langan. Brand new open.
Yeah, your vowel there was in there. I knew that when you said that about these Russians, they need to buy vowels. I knew that that was going to be in the opening.
Yeah, but you're funnier than I am. Yeah, yours. I can't remember what your comment was. Yours actually brought out a nice little chortle from our esteemed host who is not here with us today, Doug Duda. But Jimmy Langan, Randy Bushcutter with you. Glad you could join us here on the Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of stuff to cover. It was a busy weekend in sports, as it always is. The Belmont Stakes, the NBA, the NHL playoffs, some all-star action, and the Belmont Stakes. Did you watch the race?
You know, I got to see it on replay, but, you know, the horse that won that race was the one that set those early fractions in the Kentucky Derby. They had such an early fraction that set it up for Orb to win the Kentucky Derby and all the closers, Golden Soul and all these people, because the pace of the race was so fast. And I think they ran 6 furlongs of 109 in the Kentucky Derby. Then the next race, you know, the pace wasn't that quick, so the leader went wire to wire. Well, this year, a couple other things went out. Palace Malice was there sitting there like third or fourth. Well, normally that horse wouldn't win. He's got to be on the front end, but what a great ride. And he held on, won easily. I mean, won by, you know, 3 lengths. And then the couple two things that were expected to maybe be there ran second and third.
Yeah, well, you had the three horses that won the three races of the Triple Crown, finished first, second, and third. Depending on which race you kind of favor there. But the cream kind of was at the top. There was those three horses. I just kind of wish we'd get to that point where there was that dominant horse. That's what horse racing needs. They need that dominant horse. I think they really need to have some Triple Crown winner.
Well, you know, it's kind of early. I mean, if anybody's read anything about the Belmont Stakes, about maybe 12 of the last 30 races, you know, the favorite has won. But there's been some real big prices. I mean, there's been some real long shots that have come in and some huge trifecta and superfecta things in that Belmont, because you just don't know for sure if they're going to go a mile and a half or not. But, you know, I don't know if people realize this, but there was a horse in 1941. I don't know who it was, but the horse paid $2.10 to win. And it won by 25 lengths. And there was no place or show wagering on that race. They wouldn't let anybody bet place or show because they knew that horse was going to be there. And the Belmont track was going to end up losing lots of money, people coming in with their bank accounts just unloading on it.
So, yeah, probably swaps or something like that.
But now, now what's really taking place is that there's a lot of horses that are fairly equal, and the trainers are, you know, they'll pull out. I mean, this horse that won at Palace Ballast did not run in the Preakness. That, you know, they gave him 2 weeks off and got it rested, and maybe that's why it won. Who knows?
I do think it makes it harder because you got to win race after race after race. Three entirely different kinds of races, and it just becomes really, really very, very grueling for that race, that horse that wins the Kentucky and then the Preakness, to then kind of finish up with the Belmont, and everybody's gunning for you. That's why it's so hard to do. And we've had a stretch here. We've had a fair number of horses in the last 15, 20 years that won the first two legs and then come up short at the Belmont.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I believe, you know, Citation won at like 47 or something like that. And somebody else would be able to help me out. I don't have any of this information in front of me. But then, it was a long stretch, and then Secretariat in 73. And then you had Affirmed, and Aladar went back-to-back first and second. But Affirmed won every race, so ended up, you know, just holding on and winning by a nose. And, there's Seattle Slough. There's been some things. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've had one. I think 78, without looking it up.
I think you're right. 78 is the number in my head.
Right. Anyway. And so, you know, it's been a really long stretch. I know as a little kid, I thought, hey, you know, I wonder if I'll ever get to see one. And, I got to see three, like, in 5 years. And then, boom, it's really not really been close since then.
Yeah, we've kind of had that drought ever since then, too. And a big weekend for baseball as well. The first entrants into the College World Series have earned their stripes, and always love it when and LSU goes there, because, boy, we're going to be able to eat very, very well in the parking lot outside of TD Ameritrade, because the Bayou Bengals are going to be down there. Congratulations to them. They've had a pretty good drought in terms of getting in there. Their first-round match in the in Omaha will be UCLA, as UCLA eliminated Cal State Fullerton in Fullerton as they win that one. And then North Carolina State is also in. So is Louisville and Indiana, the first Big Ten team to make it into the College World Series since 1984. It's been a long time since there's been a Big Ten entrant.
Yeah, you know, I think Indiana will probably draw some interest. You know what I mean? And it's good for the Big Ten, and Nebraska played them fairly close in that tournament. You know, so there's a little ties there. Maybe they might be a crowd favorite. I don't know for sure, you know, if they're going to be a crowd favorite or not, but they could be the crowd favorite now that they're in. And, you know, I think, like you say, it's Indiana's not known to go to the College World Series. They're NCAA basketball, yes, but the College World Series, no.
And again, there's that connection with Nebraska there in terms of Indiana now being in the same conference as Nebraska. A former conference mate, kind of a neighborhood school, Kansas State, they're a win away. They won their first game and then got trounced last night by Oregon State, and now it'll be 9 o'clock tonight up in Corvallis, where Oregon State and Kansas State goes in there. And if K-State wins that one, there's probably going to be a lot of purple in those stands if Kansas State's able to win that one close enough to Manhattan. I think you'll get a lot of folks coming up there. And again, those Midwestern schools, Omaha kind of likes to adopt kind of the long shots and kind of the neighbors, if you will. So I think K-State potentially could be that team there, too. But they're not in yet. They got a long way to go.
Yeah, if Kansas State would get in, you're definitely right about people traveling up from Manhattan to see that. There's going to be some people in Kansas, you know, State that will show up. You know, it's amazing when they I think they went to the Cotton Bowl. Maybe, you know, they'd had a real dry spell where they hadn't gotten to any bowl game at all, ever gotten to play on January 1st. And it might have been the Fiesta Bowl, but when they finally got to the first bowl game that was played on January 1st, they had some tickets. You know, they were there, and they were dressed in their purple. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, they
were dying for a winner. Well, let's give me a winning team, so let's go someplace.
Yeah, you know, you got to celebrate that. And again, you take a look at the teams that year in and year out do make it to the College World Series. They're the ACC, the SEC, and the Pac-10, the Pac-12 schools now. You know, those warm weather climates, and I think they really embrace those cold weather schools like your Stony Brooks. I mean, part of that is because they're small. they're a school you never had heard of before. Stony Brook got a lot of love last year in the two games they got to play. I mean, that's what you think you got to remember. It's nice to get in there, but you want to become that fan favorite. Winning a game or two would be kind of helpful as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think, you know, that 1 year Arizona State lost to Nebraska and then came back and played Nebraska again and beat Nebraska, you know, Arizona State did. And so they're in the Final Four. And, man, that Arizona State coach really worked the Nebraska people because, you know, he said, hey, that's a great team and what a great program they have. And I'll tell you what, we're really lucky to beat them. And, you know, this is going to be really going to miss this, the crowd, I hope, you know. And next thing you know, so we have some Nebraska people cheering for Arizona State. He did a nice job, you know, made a little politicking right after that game.
Yeah, you know, it was like, you know, if we win, that'll make Nebraska look better. You know, might as well give us a little love, give us a little help.
You know, Norm Stewart, when he was at Missouri 1 year, they're playing basketball against Nebraska on like January 3rd or 4th. And what happened was Tom Osborne won his first national championship beating Miami. And 2 days later, Missouri comes into the Bob Devaney Sports Center, and they wore T-shirts during their warm-up, during the 20-minute warm-up. They said, congratulations, Nebraska NCAA football champions. And did their warm-ups. You know, guess what? The people are applauding and cheering Missouri. Yeah. Players coming out there, and then they took those shirts and threw them into the crowd because they're not going to wear them again.
Oh, no.
You know, they threw them into the crowd, gave them out as souvenirs. But hey, you talk about, you know, took the crowd out of the game as much. Norm played that pretty smart. He got some Nebraska people cheering for Missouri. And they forgot about it after 3 or 4 minutes. But there wasn't that hated rival today.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as heated when they yelled, sit down, Norm, because I guarantee you they yelled, sit down, Norm, before that game was over. In fact, before halftime even rolled around, they would have done that. But that you might as well do that. And I think what a lot of people understand is that you know, those conference rivals, that's kind of family. You know, that might be the brother that you kind of have that sibling rivalry with, but they're still family. And, again, I think Ohio State and Michigan are never going to root for each other on anything. You know, North Carolina State, North Carolina aren't going to root for each other on anything. But outside of elements like that, I always root for Oklahoma. I was rooting for Oklahoma when they were playing, you know, and part of it was because of what the state of Oklahoma has gone through this spring with the weather and all. But it's always kind of a school that I kind of root for, except when they play Nebraska.
Yeah, and I really root for Oklahoma if I'm my $11 that way.
Yeah.
You know, I've turned into a huge fan of whoever it is. My $11 are going that direction, so yeah. Loyalty goes a long way with, and you know, whoever, Oklahoma State, if you know things are going well,
yeah.
You know, so right,
they get rolling there. Huge win also. Another thing to kind of point out, the Nebraska Danger, they clinched the home field playoff game with a 67-55 win over the Colorado Ice Friday night at the Budweiser Event Center. And another great offensive performance, you know, 67 points. Jameel Sewell went 18 to 28, 235 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, 235 yards in a 50-yard long field, that's a pretty good night throwing the football.
Yeah, no kidding. That guy, when he's on, he throws well. I think Dave Greek covered that game for NTV, actually, and he was out there. And I talked to him real quick, and he told me that yeah, I think I know he covered the game. I don't know if he went out there for another reason, but one thing for sure is they actually led by 20 points most of the time, and they'd come back and cut it to 7, but never really were behind, so they kind of dominated the game.
Yeah, they led 41-19 at halftime.
Okay,
couldn't quite throw that knockout punch, and that's a little bit of the nature of that game too, because every time the other team's within one pass of another touchdown.
Yeah, it's amazing how many onside kicks are tried. See, they kick off from their own end zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do onside kicks because if they could recover them, they get the ball. And if they kick it deep, sometimes they'll run it back 25 yards. So they only cost them 15 yards, you know, but they get the ball back. So there's a lot more onside kicks than I expected when I refereed that league, you know.
But, yeah. If you believe in the offense, give them the short field because you're going to get the ball back.
Yeah.
You know, if you can hold them to 3, I mean, there's no punting. Somebody's always going to try a field goal.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You can't punt in the game, right? You're exactly right.
And they do that kind of that line drive low, kind of hope it hits somebody and takes a funny hop kind of kick. They have a lot of creative onside kicks that you see in that
league.
Yeah,
that's right.
And congratulations to them. Saturday they'll be hosting the Tri-Cities, and so they'll get that clinched home field playoff spot. They've had a great season, and games there are a lot of fun. I don't know what they're like to officiate, but they're a lot of fun to watch games there at the Heartland Event Center.
Yeah, if I can stay out of the way, that's a lot of fun. If I can get my body out of the way, they're a lot of fun to officiate.
You know, talking about officiating and staying out of the way, one of the things that happened this weekend I found was the most interesting of everything I saw this weekend was a crawl before game two of the NBA Finals. There was a crawl on ESPN saying that Joey Crawford was going to be an official in the game. Now, that just is intriguing to me because he's had a little bit of a history with Tim Duncan and that sort of thing. And I've always kind of felt that you don't notice a good official going into the game. We announce that it's that official that's going to be there. And that just strikes me as very odd that before the game even begins, we notice Joey Crawford.
Yeah, a lot of times in the NCAA, they keep that quote. You know, John Higgins worked the final and was not supposed to announce it. I mean, Tim Higgins is a real close friend of mine, so he said, hey, my brother's going. And they don't tell you. I mean, you're just going to go. They don't tell you until about the day before which game you have.
Yeah.
You know, the day before, you're going, but they'll say, hey, you got this game, you'll have this game, and you guys got the finals. And there's one a bench official that'll bench them all. You know, he benches all the games. So I know they want to keep that quiet. And I know, and I've worked a few state tournament games, and they give us what you've got. You know who you have about the day before, but they tell us not to announce that. So I'm like you. It's kind of interesting that in the NBA that they would make that big of a deal. But, you know, I feel bad for Crawford because he's you can kind of tell what he looks like anyway. When he's out there running around, you know which guy he is. I mean, he draws enough attention to himself just by the way he looks that I was kind of interested with you that they would make a big deal. But I'm sure they want to make sure they don't not have him because somebody's – you know,
right.
Upset. So
yeah. It, to me, it's just really kind of interesting. And as an official, I mean, you kind of want to blend in with the woodwork, but Joey Crawford can't. I mean, that's already passed. That day is pretty much over for him. And also, days that are over is worrying about your irrigation system wearing out on you because, well, they've got it all figured out at T&L Irrigation. You know, when you're driving a pickup, you go, you stop over and over again, it causes all those internal parts, the wear and tear, that constant starting and stopping. Now, that's the same kind of technology that is used in electric pivots, and over time that'll cause those breakdowns, lost time and money. Well, you don't have to worry about that with a T&L pivot. It's time to make the change to a hydrostatically powered T&L pivot from T&L Irrigation. For continuous movement, allowing even water distribution and less waste, for years of proven hydraulic technology that you'll know and trust, and more importantly, it'll make life easier on you. No more hassles, no more dangerous electricity, and no more production cuts from your crops. There's no more wasting of time, money, or water. The choice is simple with a hydrostatically powered pivot from T&L Irrigation Systems. Discover the difference by visiting your local T&L dealer or online at TLIRR.com. T&L, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. We'll take a break. More of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. We have the bar ready to go, the new menus are on the table, and now we're ready to staff the place for a busy summer. We're now taking applications for all positions, including front of the house and back of the house. No experience necessary, just bright, shiny faces. We're looking for the staff just as fun as we are. Apply in person at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
All across the country, there are those who are going pro. They are taking their game to the next level. They are swishing, flossing, and brushing those hard-to-reach places. They are going pro with Crest Pro Health. They are getting a clean that will transform their oral health and shedding their amateur status and going pro with their oral care routine. Go pro with Crest Pro Health. Life opens up.
High school all-star football action moves to Hastings College on June 15th when 24 of the best eight-man players, including notables from Central Nebraska, divide east against west in the 36th annual Sertoma eight-man game. Live from Hastings College, expect lots of scoring and the play-by-play on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. When you're out of range, download the Classic Hits 98.9 FM smartphone app or listen online at PlatteRiverPreps.com.
For today, look for mostly sunny skies. We'll reach a high temperature in the upper 80s. South winds at 5 to 15. Slight chance for an isolated shower or storm developing tonight and 63. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 75.
Here on the Doug and Danny Show, and I'm starting to get a little hungry, Jimmy. Starting to get a little hungry. And a great cure for that, of course, would be the Chicken Coop in Grand Island and Kearney. It is Big Burger Night every Wednesday night. Well, today is Monday. Monday has the bull fries and fries, only $5.99 on Monday nights, but lunch specials are going on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. You can catch those early games. They have a couple of happy hours from 2 p.m. to 5:30 Monday through Friday. You watch all your favorite sports on 15 HD TVs. There's not a bad seat in the house. Great food and drink specials every night. And the room is available for parties and get-togethers. You can call today. And again, don't forget those bull fries and fries, a little bit less than $6 every Monday night. And Monday, the daily special, a steak sandwich, choice of side item, only $6.99 here for lunch. A great place to eat. And that is the Chicken Coop in Kearney and in Grand Island, as they got that great lunch special at the Chicken Coop in Kearney. $6.99 today for their steak sandwich and a choice of side item. And they got a lot of choices for those side items as well. Great place to eat. Stop by at the Chicken Coop. And, you know, it's always time to talk a little. You know, we can talk a little baseball. We can talk a little basketball. We can even talk a little football, as we are joined now by Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. Sip, how you doing? Good to hear from you, man.
Randy, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. There's no off season for you, is there?
You know, there hasn't. You know what? It's funny. Anymore, it doesn't seem like there's much of one. I'll try to get away in July, though. I'm old. Now listen, I'm old, so I get 5 weeks of vacation. Getting to the point now where it's gonna have to happen.
You got to have that use it or lose it kind of deal there. All right, which sport you want to start with, Sip? We got questions for you in just about every sport known to man. What sport do you want to start with?
Well, let's go with this. You're the boss. You run it here.
All right. Well, one of the articles that I found very interesting you kind of talked about this week was Bill Callahan, and I kind of followed some of the tweets that you have. By the way, you're a good follow on Twitter, by the way. The renovation of Bill Callahan's reputation in Nebraska now that he's calling plays for the Dallas Cowboys. Talk a little bit about what kind of opened your eyes and how that story came about and your people's reaction to it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'll start with the reaction. It's just like a lot of things when you're talking about something that there's much, you know, Nebraska football, there's so much emotion involved, so there's a lot of emotion involved in just about every topic. And, of course, with Bill, it gets pretty emotional. It's pretty divisive. And, I mean, people, you know, I think there's more people. I got more criticism for writing the article than I did people saying that was good, and it's good to see Bill doing well. Although there is a significant amount of that, too, where I think people are glad to see him rebound. And I think a lot of people, it's like a lot of things as time goes on, you kind of think of the good things in life. And, you know, Bill did some good things in Lincoln. And where I was coming from, though, Randy, is I just like I said in the column that ran in Sunday's paper, I just think a guy like that who's talented, I mean, I'm not saying he's the best play caller in the world or the best play caller football's ever had, but he's pretty talented, and he's really paid his dues, and he's ferocious as a competitor. He just kept coming. And I knew Bill would, I figured Bill would rematerialize in a pretty prominent role. And you know what? He's not too far away from being a head coach again. You know, if he has a good season with the Cowboys, if the Cowboys, you know, make the playoffs, offense plays well, I mean, you're going to see his name coming up for NFL coaching jobs, I would guess. So I just kind of admire a guy who keeps coming, who hangs in there. He got kicked hard at Nebraska, sacked hard, but got up and has really done well since then.
Hey, this is Jim Lang in here, Steve, and I got a couple questions for you about Bill. Number one is, will he be able to get the plays in on time in the NFL? I know at Nebraska, that was a real dilemma for him, was getting the plays in on time and then getting our players to get the ball off, because we were always getting called for delay of game.
Well, I don't know, and I haven't seen Bill in a play-calling role since Nebraska, so it's hard to tell. I got to think, you know what, it might be a little bit easier in the NFL because, who you're dealing with, Tony Romo, at this point, Tony Romo's kind of like a coach himself. I mean, he runs the show. Hell, he runs the franchise practically. So I think that when you're dealing with a veteran quarterback like that, I would think that would not be an issue.
Okay. Second question is, they say he is a tremendous offensive line coach and understands how to block
and his techniques.
There. That's what they say he does well, which, I think to the average viewer or listener, that's kind of goes unnoticed, during watching a football game. I mean, you know that the quarterback had a good game or the running back ran hard, but the offensive line sometimes gets misnoticed. But because do you think that's why they're letting him do that, is because he'll be able to get the offensive lineman that he wants and the techniques, and they'll be running the ball a little bit more than they have been?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what Jerry Jones thinks, and that's exactly what he said. Yeah, they didn't run the ball at all. They didn't run the ball much last year. I think they ran it. They ran it one of the fewest times of any team in the NFL last year throughout the season. And they want more balance. And Bill can be very run game oriented. At Nebraska, for instance, in 06, they were 23rd nationally in running the ball and 23rd nationally in passing the ball. So that's the kind of balance that Jerry Jones wants. And as far as your offensive line question goes, I've always, this is another thing Jerry Jones said. He likes having a guy that coached the offensive line as an offensive coordinator because, the offensive line coach really does have to see a big picture. That's the best way to say it. He's got to see a big picture. He coaches five guys, five starters and plus everybody else at Nebraska, there's about 25 lines. No doubt. Maybe more than that. So, you got to be organized. You got your hands in a lot of different things. So it makes sense for an offensive line coach to move into that role. And it really makes sense at Dallas because of the run game part. And they want to have more balance. And that's why Jerry Jones likes having Bill as a play caller. And Bill, hey, listen, he is an offensive line coach at his core. I mean, I've talked to coaches over the years since Bill's been involved, became involved at Nebraska. That's where that's where he really opens eyes among his peers, is his detailed work with the offensive line. I've heard guys say he's a master at coaching offensive lines. Now, Nebraska's offensive line play wasn't great when he was here. It was pretty good at times. And that offense, let's face it, that offense got pretty good in his last 2 years.
Talking with Steve Sippel of the Lincoln Journal Star, and Sip, another former Nebraska coach that we have in the news, and it isn't for the reasons that we really kind of want to, is the passing of former coach John Melton. Coach Melton came with Bob Devaney to Nebraska, just really kind of started started this long era of success for Nebraska football. And what I always remember about John Melton was, as far as football coaches go, he might be the Shecky Green of football coaches. He always was funny and a very bright guy, very personable guy, was a wonderful face for Nebraska football. Tell us some of your memories and some of the things you kind of learned out when you did the story recently about John Melton.
Yeah, I've known John for, 20 plus years. You hit it, Randy. I mean, and really his family appreciates that John is remembered for his sense of humor. And he was upbeat, too. That's what I always liked about him. And the other thing you noticed with John is nobody disliked him. I mean, pretty much, I don't know that I met anybody that disliked him. He'd be hard to dislike because he was genuinely funny. He always had something kind of funny to say. His humor had a wide range. I mean, it was lighthearted. It could be a little biting. But the big thing with John is he's been around here. He came with Devaney in 62. I mean, he's been a pretty big part of that Nebraska football culture since 1962. He coached until 1989. So he coached 27 years at Nebraska and then was a fundraiser for some years and still right up until really this past year or two was still pretty prominent on the scene. I mean, he'd have parties out of his house in Eagle with his ex, during the season, usually during the early part of the season. And, he'd have some big names out there, guys that used to play for him. Doc Sadler go out there. So, John, let's put it this way. There'll be a lot of people at First Plymouth Church on Thursday.
Yeah, the story I remember about John Melton was he came in with Devaney and he told about the story about where they wouldn't let the black athlete at Colorado State. They played at Colorado State and they wouldn't let some black athletes eat, in the motel room. And so everybody went to the kitchen and then Devaney ends up with all the assistant coaches and they spend the night in jail in Fort Collins, Colorado. I remember that story and I remember they lost to Florida State in 83 or 84 and John Melton was so funny because he goes, I don't know why Tom and Bob want to play Florida State first game. He said, let's play some. Somebody in Nebraska like Kearney or UNO. I mean, they need the money. I mean, why are we starting off with Florida State? So his humor was very good.
Yeah, that was a pretty good imitation right there.
Hey, thanks.
That almost sounded like John.
I was trying. Yeah. I think I just did it on my own.
What was interesting, and I got to be careful a little bit because I don't want to hurt Tom's feelings, but the big, when he was on that NET show, when they did the football replay, the game replay on NET on Tuesday nights. And when they'd have John on, the ratings were better for when they had Tom on. because of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because he had that kind of mischievous look in his eye, mischievous smile, and he'd say funny stuff. So, that was John. And he'll definitely, obviously we'll all miss him.
Yeah, good soul there, and it's unfortunate that we lost him. We're restocking the shelves a little bit in terms of recruiting. This is a busy time of year for kids to come in and kind of kick the tires a little bit on campus and kind of look around a little bit. What are some intriguing names? So who's a few folks out there that you think, boy, this would be a great get if the Huskers can get them signed?
Well, yeah, there's 20 guys coming this weekend for Big Red Weekend, 20 guys on campus coming from all over the place. And I wrote a column today and I ranked five guys that I'm intrigued in, ranked them by level of intrigue. And that little running back from Gainesville, Tony James, I think he could be a pretty good player and I think he'd fit Nebraska's that fast paced spread offense. He's narrowed his list to Ohio State, Nebraska, Oregon, Florida, and Kentucky. So the competition's tough, but he says distance isn't a factor, and he wouldn't be coming to Lincoln this week if he wasn't serious. I guess maybe the guy that and I put James number one on my list, but number two, and he, I don't know, the more I thought about it, the more he's the guy that most intrigues me, is Cameron Sims, who's a big wide receiver from Monroe, Louisiana. And he, if you watch his video, the first guy I thought of was Purify. Really reminds me of Maurice Purify. You know, he's a kind of a wild horse after he gets the ball. I mean, he's hard to bring down. Got big hands, catches the ball in traffic. Big, tough-looking receiver that would look good in any program in the world. I mean, he's a four-star player. And if they, you know what? If again, he's here. I mean, he's coming to Lincoln. They'll have a shot. All these kids, they have a shot at. And then probably the last one I'd mention is Matthew Jort, who a quarterback from Jackson, Alabama, who intrigues me in part because he's only rated as a two-star prospect, yet Nebraska's really interested in him. And it makes sense when you're watching because the offense he plays in is much like Nebraska's. He's 6 foot two, 190 pounds. Tim Beck has told him it reminds him of Taylor. I don't know that he has that kind of speed. He's fast. I don't know if he has Taylor-type speed, but he does kind of remind you of Taylor when you watch him. He fits. That's the thing. And Tim Beck went down to Jackson and watched this kid in a spring game. And down there, they play spring games that are pretty – I mean, they play other teams. And he watched them against one of Alabama's best teams, Tim did, and the kid had a good game, threw three touchdowns, threw the ball well. He's a pass-first guy, but if you watch his video, he can run too.
You mentioned a couple of defensive players. Excuse me, a couple some offensive players, but I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah, all offensive guys. Yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued by another guy that you had on the list in today's article. And boy, I'm going to butcher this, but Freedom Akimolindin, either tight end or defensive end, out of Granville, Missouri. And boy, he it seems like it'd be a pretty good fit at Nebraska, but you're not sure which side of the ball he's going to be on.
Yeah, and Nebraska looks like they're recruiting him as a tight end. So again, we're talking about offensive guys here. But there are teams recruiting him as a defensive end. And Josh Harvey of Fox Sports Next, who he's one of the main recruiting guys, and those guys follow it on a daily basis. He said he wouldn't be surprised if Freedom pulls a trigger and in favor of Nebraska. That would be one you'd look at, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, as a guy that might emerge in the news because he's verbally committing to Nebraska. And I think you'll get one or two of those. By this time next week, you might have five guys in the class. They have three right now Nebraska has three right now in their class of 2014. Maybe they'll get a couple out of this Big Red weekend. And we should mention, they got a good defensive lineman coming in. It's for those people worried about defense. Peyton Newell of Hiawatha, Kansas, which is only 2 hours away from Lincoln. He's got 34 scholarship offers, and they're from big-time schools. He's narrowed it to South Carolina, Georgia, Nebraska, Southern Cal, Kansas, and Kansas State. And, Nebraska has been on him for a while. He's a priority for Nebraska, so it'd be interesting to see if they can close the deal on Peyton Newell. Again, stiff competition.
Just a few more minutes with Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star and Sip. To me, I look at Big Red Weekend. We're missing something because there's not that game environment. That's one of the things that makes Nebraska such a special place. You don't get the tunnel walk. You don't get the sea of red. Are we missing something by having those kids in on a weekend like this?
Well, perhaps, but here's the problem. These kids are going to commit. A lot of them are going to commit before the season. So you can't have them during the season. And remember, per NCAA rules, high school seniors or high school seniors-to-be can't have their visits paid for until they're high school seniors. So until their senior season, they got to pay for these trips. All these kids that are coming are paying for it. Now, that changes during the season when Nebraska could have them in for games. But, I'm not verbalizing it well, but you see the issue for Nebraska. A lot of kids now, half, basically, in the, if you look at the Big Ten, half the kids are committed before September 1st, verbally committed. So it doesn't, it, that's where it hurts Nebraska. Yeah, that Nebraska used to rely heavily on that game day experience, but they can't rely as heavily on it anymore because the recruiting process is sped up so much, and it's not getting slower. That's something that's an ongoing concern, and it's frankly why you have to have a Big Red weekend. They can't recreate the game atmosphere. And of course that hurts Nebraska, but they can't, on the other side of it, you know, if you wait, I mean, you're not going to get a guy like Tony James because he's going to commit. He says he's probably going to commit before the season begins. So that's an ongoing issue.
Hey, Steve, going to change the subject a little bit here. Nebraska, the University of Nebraska has been really successful in about every sport except for men's basketball lately. When Joe Cipriano and Mo Iba and Danny Nee took over, there was some progress made. And since that time, there hasn't been much progress made. What is it going to take, and what is your strong feelings? I know you're going to tell us the truth because, you took the time with the – you bucked the public when you wrote the article on Bill Callahan and gave him and took his side and said, hey, this is a great honor. He might be head coach in the NFL because people in Nebraska don't want to hear that. You already know you bucked the public perception, and I'm glad we have people like you that will write articles like that in the Lincoln Journal and Star and some other well-known newspapers because I like reading those things. I want to get the truth out and not be afraid to do that. So tell me about Nebraska basketball and tell me your gut feeling on what is it going to take?
Well, I mean, it's going to take what we just haven't seen here on any kind of consistent level, which is big-time athletes. Because that's what has hit me over the years is you go to these games, you watch a team, a team like, for instance, let's say Texas, when Nebraska was still in the Big 12, Texas would roll into town, and all you had to do before tip-off is look at the athlete. And you'd say, wow, Nebraska has little chance to win this game. And if they do, it'll be a monumental upset. And there were a few of those. Nebraska beat Texas when it had no business beating them. But too often what you're seeing is teams come in here and you watch warm-ups and say, this isn't going to work. Illinois, for instance, is a team that hasn't been great in the Big Ten, but if you watch them, their athleticism was so much better than Nebraska's. And that's where Tim knows that, Tim Miles. But Doc knew it. The key is you've got to get guys in here, which hasn't been easy. It can be done, though. I mean, and this is where being an old guy pays off. Danny had big-time athletes. The kind of athletes that would win in the Big Ten. When Danny had that run he made, for instance, in 91, when they were a number 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, he had the kind of players that you need to win in the Big Ten or in any big conference. Hell, they were a 3 seed. They got beat in the first round. They got upset by Xavier. But that team was loaded with talent. I mean, it was, that was Rich King and Eric Piakowski. Mm-hmm. Tony Farmer, they had it. So you can do it here. You can get them. But the coaches after Danny just haven't been able to do it. Barry Collier was not able to do it. Doc, I thought, could, but he just couldn't get the type of athlete in here. And now Tim's got a great chance to do it because of what's happened now, because they have that gorgeous arena. They have a practice facility that it's like being in a new casino. And I mean that because there's so much marble and so much leather. And it's
yeah, let's not start something here and say we're
no,
taking
no, that's
bets
what I mean. I mean, that's, it is really gorgeous. So Tim's got some tools that the other guys didn't have. He's got some advantages now. And that arena is a big one. All you got to do is drive into Lincoln now and drive down there. And that could be a game changer, and that's the hope.
Besides the tools, is Tim Miles the guy? I mean, he is very, very social media savvy, and as an outsider, he seems very, very personable. It seems to me like he's a pretty good salesman for the program, but he's got a year under his belt. We got a better idea now than the day we hired him. Do you think that was a good hire? Do you think he could very well be the guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, in fact, there's a feeling among some guys who cover the team regularly that if Tim can't do it, I don't know who can. And here's why. And Tom talked about it. Tom Osborne, when he introduced Tim Miles as head coach at the introductory press conference, Tom said something that seems very simple, but it hit me that day, and it continued to hit me as we watched him. And that is, Tom said, whoever has this job is going to need a tremendous amount of energy. And that's why Tom wasn't, you know, he wasn't inclined to hire an older coach. A coach, you know, I mean, there's no age discrimination, but for instance, Ben Howland's name kept coming up, right? The UCLA coach. Well, I don't think Tom wanted to do something like that because, you know, he's been around, he's got nothing to prove. He's, you know, he's in his 50s. Tom felt like you needed a youthful coach with a ton of energy, because that's what you need at this program. And I, when he said it, I thought, that's, you know what, it sounds simple, but it makes a lot of sense. And maybe it made sense to me, because I had a lot of long discussions with Doc when he was here, and a lot of them were about the difficulty of recruiting to Lincoln and recruiting to Nebraska basketball. And Doc never said the words explicitly, but it was about year three when it became pretty clear to me that Doc didn't know what he was getting into when he took the job. I don't think he envisioned it being as difficult as it was. I think that Tim probably understands. I think he understands. Although you know what, it's hard to know till you get in it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I don't know right now. I mean, we haven't seen enough of his guys. You know, he has his class coming now that looks pretty promising, but how do you know? We'll get a much better indication this coming season of what kind of talent level he can bring in here. I'm not saying it'll be the final. I mean, I don't think he can make any, you know, final decisions, but we'll begin to get a good idea.
Steve, thanks a lot. That's pretty well said, and I appreciate your honesty.
Hey, Sip, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time. Did we leave anything out there? Or you probably need to start working on your golf game if you got 5 weeks of vacation you got to hit.
Yeah, I don't even have clubs. I don't play because it just frustrates me. I got a lot of things. I mean, I got six grandkids to deal with. They're all in Lincoln, so I keep plenty busy. Don't worry about that.
Hey, well, and you do a nice job following Nebraska athletics, and we really appreciate your time every time you get a chance to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Well, thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star, and I said it and I meant it. He is a great follow on Twitter if you want to follow Nebraska athletics, whether it be baseball, basketball, or football. Steve Sipple is a great follow. And another great follow would be Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chevrolet Dodge Jeep Ram. You can triple your savings on all new vehicles. Those customers will receive the rebates, the Midway discount, and 1.9% financing for 72 months with approved credit on all new Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway. No one else is doing this. And if you don't decide to go new, you still have great financing opportunities with those pre-owned vehicles. Those pre-owned customers will receive the Midway discount and 2.9% financing. And don't think that they don't have your car, because they've got a great selection at their multiple locations. And you can check out their complete inventory at thinkmidway.com. Midway, a better way on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Go check out Midway's Facebook page and enter their Husker season ticket giveaway. Not just one game, season tickets. Check them out at thinkmidway.com. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamins is Complete Nutrition. And this week, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the month, Get 22% off everything for our preferred member days. That's 22% off all exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, vitamins, and herbs. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is asking you the right questions to get you the right products you need to reach your goals. And when it comes to helping you lose weight, increase energy, burn fat, or build muscle mass, nobody gets you results like Complete Nutrition, period. So get in this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our preferred member days and save 22% off everything only at Complete Nutrition. Find Complete Nutrition in Kearney near Sunmark. For free shipping, call 338-1348. And in Grand Island near Gorman's. For free shipping, call 382-8663.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The story of the band of brewers is one of rolled up sleeves, of not quitting till it's perfect, of late nights and early mornings, of figuring it out together. There's no rule book to tell you when it's done. When you know, you know. We knew. And now, you get to drink the result. Introducing the gold medal winning Third Shift Amber Lager. When beer is your calling, you never clock out. Band of Brewers Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, look for mostly sunny skies. We'll reach a high temperature in the upper 80s. South winds at 5 to 15. Slight chance for an isolated shower or storm developing tonight and 63. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 75.
And we're back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've touched a lot of things when we talked with Steve Sipple. One thing that we haven't spent a lot of time on yet is the NBA playoffs. The championship series obviously is underway. Game one going to the Spurs. Game two going to the Heat. So we're tied one game apiece. And we have this little item from our Wayback Machine. Play it, Jeff.
My Accenture match play bracket, it blew up. It's really bad.
Hey, I saw that.
That's really, really bad.
I saw that, you know, where, hey, you know, I think it was, I can't remember if it was you or somebody else that picked the Super Bowl winner and the other person. But, hey, you know, once you hit that thing, you know, back off. Just kind of wait. You know what I mean? I mean, you
got to bring the average back down to reality.
Every once in a while. Hey, you got this. Are you on this telecast? I want to make sure you get this one because there's a team in Texas, San Antonio, that's going to win the NBA championship.
You think?
Yeah, I think San Antonio's going to win that. But I'm not making any predictions on this golfing tournament.
Miami Heat.
Okay.
I'll take the Heat. Okay. You can have the Spurs.
All right, that's going to be, you know, when everybody else can have the other teams, how's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll give everybody else, can have them.
So, the gauntlet is laid down February 22nd. Gauntlet laid down. Jimmy, you have the Spurs. Have you moved away from that at all?
No, but I did hedge my bet. You know, when Miami lost the first game, I got all over Miami because they were down one game to none. So that way I wouldn't lose. So I can't lose any money on this thing.
Yeah, there you go.
So I hedged it off because I'm not that positive. But, yeah, that was a nice predict. They were 6-1. You know, I mean, see, Miami's 4-5 at that time.
Yeah,
4-5 favorite. Yeah, the other team's 6-1. So, yeah, Doug could take the favorite if he wants to. But, you know, he did pick that Super Bowl down to the times. That was a great move on his part. But, yeah. Hey, game 3's tomorrow. That's kind of an exciting series.
And I can't decide how this is going to go, to be honest with you. I think the Heat are tired. They look wore down to me. And then last night they looked absolutely awesome. They looked absolutely awesome last night when they started that, a god-awful 33-5 run or whatever that they were on. They looked completely unbeatable at that point. But I think they're tired. I think they're a little wore down. I part of me really, especially since now they've lost home court advantage, I kind of like the Spurs. But I do think this is going to come down. And I think it may very well come down to Game 7, and Game 7 will be in Miami.
Yeah, Game 3 and 4 will be keys. I mean, if somebody could sweep Game 3 and 4 in that, they're going to, you know, if anybody can sweep 3 and 4, whether it's Miami or the Spurs, whoever can sweep 3 and 4, that's great. If it's split again, we're just back where we are right now.
Yeah, and I it's clear to me that maybe they can reach a pretty deep Miami can, and they might be able to come off the mat in that one. So I didn't make a bold enough prediction, and it's not early enough for me to kind of say that. And right now I'm not sure if I just think it's going to be awfully, awfully tough for the Heat to lose that. You know, granted, they lost home court advantage, but the way it's set up, I don't think the Spurs are going to win 3 in a row. You know, and that means they're going to have to win that deciding game in Miami, and so that'd be a little bit tougher as well. So, yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see whether or not we pay any attention to Joey Crawford too.
Yeah, no kid. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we have a game that gets down to a last second shot or anything like that, because yesterday's game sure did not. So,
all right, well. Hey, we need to take one more break. We'll wrap up everything here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll do that right after this.
Driving to the grocery store. Sure, Goodyear tires can face it. Get some milk, maybe some carrots, and then drive back home.
But Goodyear is also the official tire of NASCAR. And everything we learn making tires for expert drivers inspires what we roll into yours. You don't just want milk and carrot tires, do you? Go to Goodyear.com and find out how to get up to a $160 rebate. Goodyear, more driven. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Incorporated.
Wendy's presents Summer Berry.
What's up, Barry?
Well, Jill told me she loves a nice summer berry. I'm a nice berry, but where's the summer love?
Oh, you know, she might have said berry, as in strawberry.
What?
Like in this berry almond chicken salad from Wendy's.
Mmm. She also said berries are so sweet. You think she was flirting?
Oh, yeah, with the salad, though.
Wendy's berry almond chicken salad is back. Fresh strawberries, plump blueberries, and warm grilled chicken. Try it now with our new strawberry lemonade.
Now that's better.
For a limited time.
The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Presented by AutoTrader.com. After dropping Game 1 at home to the Spurs.
Hits a three and hits LeBron James.
The Heat bounce back to tie the series at one game each. Now the series heads to San Antonio for 3 straight.
Game 3, Spurs and Heat, Tuesday night at 8 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For today, look for mostly sunny skies. We'll reach a high temperature in the upper 80s. South winds at 5 to 15. Slight chance for an isolated shower or storm developing tonight in 63. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 75. People everywhere,
now everybody put your hands. And back on the Doug and Dave Show. Kind of need to clean up a few things here. Kind of get everything all wrapped up. And we'll begin with a little note that we got here on our email in the Dent Popper inbox. Mark asked the question, why don't the Danger play the Beef anymore? Are they in different levels of indoor football? And excuse me. And the answer there is yes, they are in different leagues. The Beef are no longer in the Indoor Football League, the IFL. as they were from 2009 to 2012. They switched leagues starting this year. The Beef have moved into the Champions Professional Indoor Football League, so they are in a different league. I suppose the only way they would play each other would be some sort of preseason exhibition game. Mark, that's a good question, but there is a reason that the Beef don't come to Grand Island and take on the Danger. And our Midtown Mark Cooler question, which NBA playoffs have been the most exciting so far? 57% of you said the NBA, and 43% of you said the NHL. I would have been on the losing side of that vote. I think the NBA up to this point has had one game seven, and the NHL has had, I think it's three or four, including one game where a team was down by three goals. It's be the equivalent of being down by three touchdowns in an NFL game and able to come from behind, force the overtime, and then win it. And another series where a team was down by three games and then ended up winning. Well, they were down by two games. They ended up winning the last three games to make it. So to me, the NHL playoffs have just been that much better than the NBA playoffs. And, Jeff, you have a retort.
No, I was just going to agree with you. 23 overtime games, including two of them. And then, like you said, the Bruins were down 3-1 in their series against Toronto, came back and won. And then the Blackhawks were down 3-1 to Detroit, came back and won, too. So both, whoever's going to win the Stanley Cup was literally minutes away from elimination. Doesn't get more exciting than that.
Yeah, and right now what's different is the NBA, the last round, the conference final round, was some of the best basketball that was out there, whereas it wasn't that close. It was pretty lopsided for both the Bruins and the Blackhawks. So it's going to be a great Stanley Cup final. At least we anticipate that. And our question for today, the Midtown Mark Cooler question of the day is, who will finish his career with more majors? Will it be Rafael Nadal, who just turned 27? He already has 12 majors. He's won 8 of the last 9 French Opens. Or will it be Roger Federer, who is 32 in August, but he has the lead. He has 17 majors, but only one in his last 10 tries. So Federer has the lead, but probably fading a little bit. Will Nadal catch him? As Nadal is 27, has those 12 majors. Federer already leads by 5 majors, but is also 5 years older. That is a pretty good Midtown Mart Cooler question. Just log on to ESPNSuperstation.com, and we'll be able to kind of get your vote and your input on that one.
You know who I think will have an indication on that is actually Novak Djokovic. He might be able to prevent Nadal from winning enough to catch Federer.
He's going to have to figure out how to win in Paris for him to do that, because Nadal has just been dominating down in the French Open. It's just amazing how much he's been able to dominate that one tournament, and that's where he's kind of built a little bit of a reputation for himself there.
Yep.
Because, again, he's got 12 majors, but 8 of them are in Paris, and the other 4 are spread out everywhere. Certainly want to thank Jim Langan, who was our co-host today. Appreciate his time. And also Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. And as I mentioned, if you don't already follow him on Twitter, you should give that some thought, as Sip is a pretty good follow there, and appreciate his time and all of his input. Don't forget, there's college baseball all day on the ESPN2, as we still have to figure out 3 more teams to make it into the College World Series. This time tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, of course, we'll set the entire field for the College World Series as we get ready for college baseball returning back to Omaha and the greatest show on dirt. Thank you so much for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. We'll see you then.
All sports, one source, 2 stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.